May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. The astounding Jesus from our gospel lesson today. And I've always thought in reading about the miracles in the Bible that they're underplayed. What I mean is, I would be hooping and hollering and jumping up and down if I had witnessed one of those. And I don't see that description in the Bible, but yes, the Bible says they were completely amazed and they were in awe. But what about the jumping up and down? What about the hollering and whooping and everything like that? Try to put yourself in one of these miracles. Remember polio? My dad had polio, and he was one of the fortunate ones, but his leg got really thin, but it didn't stop him from walking. But others, I know it's a long time ago, but remember polio with shriveled up legs. Jesus says, be healed. And suddenly your legs are putting on flesh and muscle. That's the only way they could have walked and jumped up and taken their mat, you know. Woohoo! Wouldn't you be, whoa. You know? I bet more than one of those lame people started jumping right away. Or you're blinded in Iraq. No chance for you to ever have your natural eyesight again. You can't see your wife and your little one-year-old boy. Jesus says, be healed, and suddenly you're seeing 20/20, and you are screaming in delight. Or maybe you're on a sailboat, and all of a sudden a wicked storm comes up. Now I'm thinking of Arkansas and that duck boat, right? All of a sudden, everything is, the sailboat's a wreck. You're taking on water. You'd put out a mayday emergency signal. It looks dire. You're beyond fear. But then you see Jesus walking on the water, coming to rescue you. Yes, you're completely amazed, and you clutch his neck, and you won't let go. And all the leaders of religion can curse Jesus, but you will always believe in him because of this miracle. Why did Jesus do miracles? Ever asked that question? Is that something pastors ask? Why did Jesus do miracles? Well, I think there's several reasons. One of them is right there in the scriptures in John chapter 20, 30 to 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing that you may have life in his name. That's why he did miracles, so you would believe in him. And the second reason I think he did miracles is so that he could fulfill the prophecy that marked him as the one and only Savior of the world. As in Isaiah 35, then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, then the lame will leap, see that jumping thing again? Will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies. And thirdly, I think Jesus did miracles out of sheer compassion. He saw the sickness and suffering and pain and heartache of people, and he had sympathy on them and he had empathy for them because he had the power to do it, because he loved people. Wouldn't I like to do that, or you too, when I visit the hospital? And I see some of our members suffering as they are, and they are. I'd love to be able to touch them. And Jesus showed this compassion. Now, I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't use his miraculous power to benefit himself. His power was always used to help and benefit others. Jesus did not showboat. Right? Well, I can hear some of your minds twirling. What about this walking on water? Now, to tell you the truth, if I could walk on water, I'd be out there on the Tennessee River all the time going, hey, guy, woo, woo, woo. You know, as the boats go by, look at me. Here I am. You can't do the try it. You know? That would be so cool. So what about him walking on water? Well, if you conflate the Gospels a bit here, this is Mark. Many of the disciples were what? Fishermen. And if you've ever been to Israel and to the Galilee, you better understand this, that storms, well, kind of like Arkansas, you know what happened? The storms come down out of those hills that surround, and it can come so fast, and it can be so dangerous. And they didn't have the kind of ships that we have, but I mean, they were fishermen. They knew how to handle this, but they also knew how dangerous it could be. Where was Jesus when the storm came? And it was a storm. Jesus was on the mountainside praying. Disciples were in the boat when the windstorm hit. They were straining at the oars. The wind was shrieking. The waves were slapping the sides of the boat. Jesus could observe what was happening from the mountainside. Maybe lightning gave him some vision, but it was also in the fourth watch. And the way they designated time, the fourth watch was 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So there would also already be some light, right? Jesus was watching them, and he knew that they could potentially be in trouble. And he walked out to them out of concern. And maybe he thought, they've grown a little bit, they can handle this. So he was going to walk on by. But what happened? They saw him. And they got even more terrified and more afraid. So he doubled back and got in the boat and he calmed the storm. Don't you remember about the bread and the fish that I fed the 5,000? Ye of little faith, what haven't you seen me do? Every miracle, everyone portrayed a God of great compassion. Now, the greatest miracle of all is Jesus' own life and his death on a cross. Beyond human understanding, I mean, he was able to take on our sins and give us desperately needed people grace and forgiveness. We can't possibly understand this completely. We just believe it. The miracle is that God got in the boat with us. And what I mean by that is he became a human being. He took the worst that Satan could throw at him. He lived with all the hardships that human beings endure. And then he took the punishment for our sins, which he didn't deserve, but we deserved. He took it on. And again, how can this be? Explanations will always fall short of this miracle of Jesus, of our salvation. And now, as Corrie ten Boom once said, however deep the pit, God's love is deeper still. So what do these scriptures mean to us? Two things. Shouldn't we always be in awe of Jesus and want to worship him and honor him and speak of him? The impact that Jesus had on human history is unparalleled. There will never be a human being, he was also God, but there will never be a person like Jesus on this earth again until he comes back. He has had an incredible impact on people, and I think on you and me. The things he did The miracles, not explainable in human terms. This is why the skeptics always take aim at his miracles, the unbelievers. They have trouble with them. I don't know if you knew this, but one of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, had in his Bible, what he did was he removed all the miraculous. Yeah, he excised all the miracles of Jesus because the Jesus he was attached to was the teacher, but not the miracle worker. Jesus's most controversial miracle probably would be his raising of Lazarus. This miracle polarized people, polarized them. Some were in awe and were amazed and believed in him. But some said it was an elaborate trick. And worse, that it was inspired and empowered by Satan himself. But to me, and I hope you, everything Jesus did causes me to want to worship him. My middle son, Stanton, got a new phone, and we're in our family, we're the only two Samsung. You know, the rest of the family is those horrid iPhones that most of you have, I guess. But when he got it, he went out and took pictures of in his lawn and his flowers and stuff, and Samsung, which takes better pictures than your iPhone. Okay, that might be all it does that's better, but I don't know. I think it's better. Anyway, he took pictures of these things, and he was showing me, because he can take very close-ups. The pixels on this thing are just amazing. And I was stunned. You see things, you're walking on beauty. You know, the intricacy of what he was showing me. And it just, I don't know, maybe I'm exaggerating this, but it thrilled me to know that God has made things so beautiful, so intricate, and I want to worship him. I want to worship him. And that's on top of the fact that he saved me by going to the cross and all the rest of it. Yeah, I'm in awe. Yeah, I have a shiver of delight when I think about Jesus. When I think about Jesus, I want you to think about Jesus. Oh, do I ever want to praise God and sing with all my heart? And I will to my dying breath. But the story of these miracles also mean we have an incredibly compassionate God. He is not aloof, he's not uncaring, he's not vindictive, he's not capricious. He is a loving God who's still in this world, who hears our prayers, he cares, and he acts. And what this means is if we're followers of him, we should have that same kind of compassion. And if we have the same kind of compassion that Jesus had in this world, we're going to be quite a contrast to this world. Back in 2006, a 34-year-old man, David Sharp was his name, attempting to climb Mount Everest. He died in his attempt. 40 climbers went right past him. They did not stop to help him. No doubt they thought they had invested so much in this climb that they didn't want to sacrifice it to help this man who was clearly desperately in need of help. David Sharp died. Well, a few weeks later, on that same mountain, 50-year-old Lincoln Hall was left to die by his own team and other passing climbers on this treacherous mountain. But this time, a small team led by Dan Mauser and his team from the U.S. helped Lincoln Hall and saved his life by forfeiting their opportunity to scale the summit. You see, compassion is not mere sympathy. Oh, sorry. It's not, no. It's sympathy and action. We're to be a reflection of our God and our Savior. We're to stop and help. And one of Jesus' most widely known miracles, which is, by the way, in all four Gospels, is the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus had compassion on the crowd, and he wanted to feed them. And he came to his disciples, and this is an impossible thing, you know. I mean, they only had a few pieces of bread and some fish. It's a possible thing. And they balked when Jesus said, I want to feed the crowd. And they said, this is impossible. We can't do this. We can't do this. And Jesus said, no, you give them something to eat. Of course, they were just, you know. He was saying, you shouldn't balk. And of course, what did Jesus do? He took that bread and he multiplied it and the fish, and then they had 12 baskets of leftover. How many disciples were there? You think that stuck in their head? Because every act of compassion that you perform can be undergirded by the power of Jesus and his love for us. Some things may seem impossible, but if you do it in Jesus' name, watch out. He can provide. I hope you believe in Jesus and his miracles. I do. And I hope that you're in awe of Jesus and you want to worship him. And you're never embarrassed to worship him. And I hope that you want to have the heart of Jesus. Because the most distinguishing characteristic of Jesus here on this earth was his love for people. And I hope you have that compassion that reflects how Jesus loved you, that you can have compassion on your fellow human being. And when you have the opportunity to act, even if it's just a prayer, and that's not a small thing, right, for people. He's the amazing Jesus, the astounding Jesus. Let us worship him and thank him all the days of our life. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen? Amen. Amen.